Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 218 of Never on the Back Foot podcast, the BCCI announced Team India squad for the Asia Cup 2023. Skipper Rohit Sharma and chairman of selectors of the men's team, Ajit Agarkar, tackled some underlying issues in the team ahead of this pivotal Asia Cup and the home World Cup due later this year. In this episode, however, we will discuss all the major talking points and look at India's squad for this Asia Cup. On the podcast today, we have Aryan. He has been an ardent cricket fan right from his childhood days. He played cricket for his district at the under-19 level and then moved to Canada for his studies. He started his own YouTube channel titled The Direct Hit in July 2021, and that led him to an opportunity to intern in the analytics team for Punjab Kings in the IPL of 2022. He has been on multiple platforms, including Bharat Army Instagram page, and looks to carry on his journey in the field of cricket analytics and forever being a student of the game. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi, Aryan. Welcome back to Never on the Back Foot podcast. First things first, how are you doing today?
Good, Neha. Good to be back, as always. And excited for the discussion. I mean, this discussion has been doing the rounds for quite a few days now. And I've been on multiple channels discussing the same thing, but I'm sure I'll have another different perspective to the same topic.
Absolutely. The discourse has been around the squad that was announced by the BCCI earlier this week. Now, when we see India, right, we will be featuring in this six-nation tournament that's co-hosted by Pakistan and Sri Lanka. A lot of things transpired and now we have co-hosts. So now this is going to be among the last few international assignments before, you know, we have the ODI World Cup that's happening at home. So what are your initial observations to kickstart this discussion?
When the squad came out, it pretty much picked itself. I mean, a lot of players are back from injury. So glad to know that, and a bit also worried that it doesn't happen again. Because our team was going so smoothly, when Shreyas, Boom and KL were there, fit and firing. But as the injuries took place, we had to go through some transitions, and glad that they are back. And as we have all been hearing, watching visuals from Allure in the training camp, it looks very positive and getting the positive vibes that, again, our team will get back on track with all our main players back. And the buzz is there of the Asia Cup. And just as I look at my, date, it's just six odd days left for that big clash. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And talking about a lot of, names that have made their way back into the squad. Now, the biggest talking point was, of course, the return of Shreyas Iyer, who was away thanks to injury. So what do you feel about his inclusion, and will the lack of match practice be kind of tricky there?
I think I was watching a clip of him that it was a hard journey coming back, lower disc injury from what I have been informed, and it went all the way down, the pain went all the way down to his feet. So that is no mean feat coming back from that, number one. And number two, when this such is the case, all you can do is prepare, do as many match simulations as possible, and keep yourself in a good mindset, because you know that you are not going to get a ball in a match, a proper match against the opposition team, as in there are no practice matches. So the first ball he's going to face either will be from a steaming in Haris Rauf or Shadab Khan. So that's pretty much what he knows. And all he can do is, I think, prepare best. And we all keep our fingers crossed for him and KL, and hope that they fire as much as possible in this tournament and then take it forward to the World Cup.
Absolutely. The return of Shreyas Iyer will definitely bolster India's middle order as well. Now, what was very interesting about this selection was how there was a press conference which had Rohit Sharma and Ajit Agarkar, and they addressed questions. Now, even India's number four batting position, the second keeper dilemma, and even the leg spinner conundrum was, kind of debated upon. So what did you make of it in the, discussion about the 17-man squad?
I think first of all, it happened. The press conference happened. We should be really chuffed as Indian fans don't get to hear that a lot these days. These things happened back in the time when Kohli and Shastri were there, which was very good. And as fans, we keep looking for answers. And the best thing that we got from this, I mean, the interview was that good, crisp, clear answers to all of our doubts and the clearness on how the team management is thinking, which is for me really important. Because we don't want to be kept in a shed as fans about the selections. What is the thing going through? And at least I'm starting to see a process where the team is on a track of achieving success along with keeping the fans in the loop. So I think that is really good. And press conference was excellent, to say the least.
Agreed, and the way they answered the questions, there was humor and like they were concrete answers. So that was, as you said, very refreshing to see. And let's break it down right now in the recently concluded ODI series against the West Indies. Other management tried out what, like three different batters at your number four position in as many games. So what did you make of that? And somewhere, did you see the experimentation part getting like done?
Yes, I mean, that is something we all Indian fans are scared of, this experimentation thing, from the last few years we've been watching this. But I think there was a bit of a method to the madness because we were preparing for the worst. What if KL doesn't come back? What if Shreyas doesn't come back for the Asia Cup? And I think that was the mindset of the management giving Surya and Samson games because we needed their replacements. And now that is why Tilak is in the squad in case, God forbid, something happens to both of them. And I think they had a clear approach. Rohit Virat not playing may be debatable, but you can understand the reasons that, okay, they are also human, they need rest. So this series was more about trying to fit different jigsaws into the puzzle and seeing which piece fits. Rather than result orientation. Results are important, but I don't think so. India looks too much for results in this concluded series. We won, which is a good thing.
Fair enough. And now, there was a lot of discussion around pushing Virat to number four, considering, the uncertainty that the batting order brings. But now he's someone who has excelled in the number three position. We've seen him score runs in bulk, right? So what do you think would be the perfect fit for him?
Anywhere would be good because he's averaging 50 plus at number four as well. And his dear friend AB de Villiers just mentioned a couple of days ago he's a very good player at number four. So, flexibility, the important word that was used in the press conference, how much we are going to see that of, only time will tell. But Virat can play three or four. For me personally, there's no doubts. He can play anywhere, and he's been practicing his spinning skills in the nets in the camp that is going on. So Virat, there's no tensions around Virat. I think he'll do what he does, and when big games come, his switch just turns on. So yeah, well, hopefully he just continues his good form that he's in.
I agree, and he is a class player who can really be slotted in anywhere, and we'd still see good performances from him. Now, the battle really comes in for the number four position because we've seen players like Shreyas Iyer, KL Rahul, and Surya Kumar Yadav competing. Now, Ishan Kishan also, I think, presented himself as an outside contender for this spot. So, who, according to you, will be that ideal person to take the number four position?
I think for me, the person returning, Shreyas Iyer, will retain the number four position because he was doing well. And it is like, when you relinquish a spot and then someone fills in because you're injured. But to be all in all fairness, in an ideal world, when you come back, it's your spot that you deserve because you've been performing at it. And I think Shreyas will retain the number four spot. Now, this puts Sky on the sidelines a bit, but I completely understand, and I won't question the decision of Sky. If not in the playing 11, I won't be surprised.
Fair enough. And now let's look at another contender who's been making the right noises. That's Sanju Samson, right? Now he has been drafted into the squad as a cover for KL Rahul, but many feel, he should have been included considering the flexibility and attacking prowess that he brings in. So what did you make of his inclusion? And somewhere do you think India missed a trick or two here?
No, I don't think so, because I'll give a very short answer to this is that Sanju Samson in ODIs, yes, he's a good player. He might be averaging 60 plus, but from what I've seen recently, I'm not really impressed by him, the way he's thrown his wickets away. I get the fact that you want to play aggressive, you want to take the bowling on, but after getting starts, it's your responsibility to go and win the game. I have been critical of him because I love the way he's playing and I want him to carry on and not happy with the way he's been getting up. So I think it's a good learning curve for Samson. He can go back and just reflect on how he's done recently, irrespective of the format.
Right, it is definitely time for him to take a good hard look in the mirror and reassess his performances in the recent past. And another name that has really burst onto the international scene thanks to their amazing performance is Tilak Varma, right? Now he is your all-round package. He's a left-handed middle-order batter who can also bowl part-time off-spin. So it proved, too tempting to ignore. And the selectors also saw him as the right fit. And that's how he got his maiden ODI call-up for this Asia Cup. So how excited are you at the prospect of his selection? And where do you see him in the scheme of things in the playing 11 if he gets a go?
I think very good for him, youngster. For me, this selection has been predominantly to give him the experience around the one day team. And if he gets a chance, it'll be four or five because he's being potentially looked as a backup for either Shreyas if he has a niggle or something, or a KL if something happens to him. I think that will be his spot in the 11. But I don't see him getting that many chances in this Asia Cup. Just for the experience purposes, I think he has been picked, but no doubt there's a bright future ahead of him. And we can closely look at him as the main batter for the 2024 T20 World Cup show that is going to take place in the US and the West Indies. So that is also not too far away. So hoping that Tilak gets all the experience that he needs from this Asia Cup, be with the team, be around the seniors, see how they go about their work, and contribute off the field as much as you can. And if given a chance, just grab it like he did in the T20s.
Absolutely. With age on his side, this will be a great chance for him to, work with some of the seniors in the dressing room as well and learn as much as he can. Now, another name, that has been quite interesting is Surya Kumar Yadav. So he has struggled to, find a suitable tempo in his ODI career so far. We've seen him across his 24 innings where he averages like what, 24.3, and he has been moved up and down the order in an attempt to, find this ideal position for him. Now, his inclusion has also raised a lot of questions that why is he being, given this longer rope when you have other people who can replace him? But do you think this Asia Cup can be an opportunity for him to, seal that number five or number six place and be the finisher that India needs him to be in this format?
I think I'll come to my same point now with the return of Shreyas and KL. I really don't see him featuring in the event until unless he's a backup. How do you feel now? And what is your first choice? Who's going to play Shreyas slash Surya? Because KL will keep if he's playing. So KL is confirmed. And now I don't know if you want to give that number four spot to Sky or Shreyas. That will see the time to come, but he's there because of his dynamic skills and his quick scoring prowess. And I think you need to have kind of a batsman in the squad. Yes, he's not done that justice to his talent in one day cricket, but good that the team is sticking with him. You don't want to leave such a special talent. And I'll go back a few years, and he played a bit early for India. What could have happened? That is still a mystery. Everybody says that his 4 to 5 years were wasted because he debuted at 30 in T20s, right? So that is a discussion for another day. But I think good that we are keeping some mystery in our, taking it to Sri Lanka, and whenever need be, we can pop him in the 11th. So yeah, I'm looking forward to how Sky goes.
Right. And now, just taking the focus onto your wicket keeper slot. Now, in the absence of your first choice wicket keeper, Rishabh Pant, the question was, I think, always going to come down to, is it going to be Sanju Samson or is it going to be Ishan Kishan? Now, we see how Ishan Kishan has gotten the confirmation. So, what are your thoughts on his inclusion? And is he like this like-to-like replacement of Rishabh Pant going ahead, perhaps?
I would say batting style, yes, like to like, but Rishabh Pant is Rishabh Pant, right? You can't really put a comparison right now for me. But Ishan Kishan will be your third backup opener going into this squad, as well as your wicket keeper. And if hearing the news that KL might not feature against Pakistan, he may get a go ahead in the first game. And if not, he'll stay your second choice, because if Ishan Kishan needs to bat for me, he has to bat in the top three. I don't want him to come in at number five. So I'll also like to see how India fix him and where do they back him. That is all what we are looking to see. And as far as his place is concerned, justified, yes, because he's been consistent and he's got 350s, 450s on the trot. So yeah, it's a selection in my opinion.
Fair enough. And now, one of the major concerns that India has faced in limited overs has to be the lack of bowling options than the regulars, right? Now, Rohit Sharma did hint at the likelihood, of him and Virat bowling in a joke way. So, do you think India is really in dearth of like good bowling options and should consider including more all-rounders like how Australia or England does it?
I think India is not spoiled for choices in this area, because we only have Hardik Pandya. We are taking Shardul Thakur, and if we make a 11 right now, we would see two spinners and four pacers in that lineup. So you're carrying six options on the field, which is enough in the one day game. So I think one day cricket is somewhere you would need six bowlers. To be honest, that is enough. T20 might be, yes, you might go for seventh or eighth. You might need them if the day is not going well for the bowling unit. But I think from the attack that we are seeing in this in the 17-man squad and the options to pick from, I would not be worried, because we have our full-fledged bowling attack back. If anything goes wrong, then I would like to see what is our counter to that. So yeah, as of now, if you ask me, I'll give it 7 on 10 to this bowling lineup. And for me, it's not a major concern as of now. Let's see how the tournament progresses, and that will give us more clarity to your question if we needed, more options or not.
Absolutely. And looking at all rounders too, right? Now, the inclusion of Shardul Thakur as your premier pace bowling option has been quite impressive. And in recent times too, his performances have been consistent. So, what do you think of his presence in the squad?
Well, he is the Lord Thakur, isn't he? And you can't ignore the Lord. He has the knack of picking wickets, and that is something that'll tangle India. They'll have to dangle the carrot. Do we want Shardul in the squad as an extra pacer, and his batting, or do we go with three spinners? That is the decision India needs to make. And from what the coaches and the captain might be seeing in the camp right now, that will be the decision that can fix your batting depth issues. And you might say, gutsy up and say, we have enough batters, let's go with three proper bowlers. So his place in the playing 11, I think it comes to conditions, as it happened in the WTC final. It's a tough one for me, but I would like to see how Mr. Dravid and Mr. Sharma go about it.
Right. And another very surprising exclusion was that of Yuzi Chahal, right? Now he posted something very cryptic that kind of indicated the sun will rise again. So, but seriously, what did you think of his exclusion and how do you make sense of it?
I think it had to do with him not offering much with the bat. India were exposed against the West Indies. If I need to put it in a nutshell, they addressed the concern. They hit. I think now the panic button was hit in that West Indies series when we saw we don't have enough batting depth. And Chahal, by all his records, has been great, but recently he's lost that touch. He was even if it was T20, You don't associate Chahal going for runs. So I think harsh, yes, but sometimes these could need to be taken. And I think if it was right or wrong, time will tell. But somewhere you can blame the BCCI. Yes, he could have been taken, but I think it was a 50-50 shot, and BCCI went with the option. So I think they took a brave call. Let's see where this all goes.
Absolutely. And I think, even when you look at Kuldeep showing all the kind of variations he has, there's been a significant improve in the speed. Chances were always high that, he would be preferred over Chahal. And that's pretty much what happened. Now, besides him, you also have two left-arm orthodox spinners in the form of Ravindra Jadeja and Akshar Patel, who were picked in the side, which already has like five pacers. So what do you make of this spinners combination?
I think Jaddu and Akshar are bowlers. If you see the TV screen and you see slow left arm, they are the same in that respect, but they are very different in how they deliver the ball. Akshar is round arm, Jadeja is slightly straightish. He has the arm ball, Jadeja is backhanded. Both are different in their own ways, and I think it's a backup for Jadeja, as he always has been, unfortunately, Akshar. But definitely, if the conditions permit, why not Akshar, Kuldeep and Jadeja can be seen in action. So I think India went with the batting along with the bowling. They went with the all-rounded mindset, and I think it's a good one in Sri Lankan conditions.
Enough. And looking at the pace attack on the other hand, many people found it extremely shocking that India went in with five pacers now in the form of Jasprit Bumrah, Mohammad Siraj, Mohammad Shami, Shardul Thakur, and Prasad Krishna. Now with Hardik Pandya also bowling, that gives you what, a roster of seven fast bowling options. So why do you think India opted for this strategy? And somewhere, are you pleased with the pace battery looking solid?
Oh yes, everybody is back, and this pace battery can wreak havoc. And as we saw recently, Pakistani pacers under lights, bamboozled Afghanistan in two out of the three games. So India will get help, and Jasprit's return is a big, big plus. We all had our eyes on that Ireland T20, even though there wasn't a lot of viewing if it wasn't for Bumrah, but. Very happy with his return. Siraj, obviously aggressive. Shami. So, if you look at the pace battery, it's really good. And I hope India don't get too much of a flat wicket when they are, bowling first. That would be a concern. But these are very experienced people. They know how to bowl on different tracks. So, India going in with the pace battery gives them the option. And let's see how they do. Hopefully, they go well.
Absolutely. And as we reach, the end of our discussion, do you have any final remarks of the squad? And somewhere, are you feeling optimistic for the Asia Cup and the World Cup eventually as well?
Oh, if you ask me, the squad looks good. Asia Cup, yes, I can say I'm very optimistic. World Cup, I'll go game by game. I have it's a good team. Pretty much these will be the 15, two will be chopped off, sorry, from the team. And World Cup, I'll see game by game how we are going, and then we can make a fair assessment. But yeah, looks a fantastic team. I'll give 9 on 10 to this team, and wish them all the best for the tournament commencing.
Right. And last but not the least, do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom, or a message for our listeners?
Whoever is listening, just support Team India, and we need to back our boys. These are the ones who have been picked right now. And yes, enjoy the game, enjoy the cricket that's going on. A lot of cricket will be played, and the World Cup season is coming, so get your tickets as well, man. They are also out very soon, and keep listening to the podcast. It's really great. And those will be my parting words, I guess.
That is a fitting conclusion. And once again, Aryan, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank
It was
you.
lovely listening to you again share some amazing insights. Here's hoping we can have you back. And until next time, take care
Sure.
and bye. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads and @NeverInTheBackFoot on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season just for you. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters and a lot of other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.